Acts chapter number 28. I want to preach to you for a little bit tonight on a topic I'm sure you're all be interested in. I want to preach to you about being snake bit tonight. How's that? Being snake bit. And Acts chapter number 28 here. Paul has been in a storm. He's been in a rough way here out on the sea. And they've done everything they could to save the ship that they was on. And of course you find all this stuff in chapter number 27. And they got rid of all their goods. It seemed like they might be able to save the ship, but come the morning time, they had to just let it go where it would go, and they drove it up onto the land and wrecked their ship. And then they come off of the ship, and they're here on land now, and that's where we're going to pick up in Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 1. Let me say this. While we're reading this story, on the surface, it just looks like a story about Paul getting shipwrecked and building a fire and getting snake bit and all that stuff. Well, in the same way in the Old Testament where we would find the life of Jesus Christ in those stories, for example, you read about Joseph and he was betrayed by his brethren, he was sold into Egypt and he suffered persecutions and he came out on top. We see that just as the story of Joseph until God reveals to us that that's the life of Christ in there, sold by his brethren, betrayed and suffered persecution for our sins. And then he was delivered, and then he was made Lord of all, and sits at the right hand of majesty today. And so just like we can see those things in the Old Testament, we ought not to overlook the fact that we can see not only Christ's life portrayed in the Old Testament, but a Christian life portrayed in the events of the New Testament. So we're going to look at this story here in Acts chapter number 28, and just for a little bit we want to talk about what to do when you get snake bit. Let's read the verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 1, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this passage of Scripture here in the book of Acts. God, I know, dear God, that this is a great book and it's full of illustrations about the Christian life. And God, Romans, Lord, through Philemon, we find great doctrinal truths for the church and, Lord, the ways to apply it as well. But here in the book of Acts, dear God, when the Gentile church shows up in Acts chapter number 11 and on down toward the end of the book, God, we see many situations and many different opportunities in the lives of these men and women to serve you, God. We can apply those same outcomes and same situations to our own life. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit would be here tonight, God, to lead and to direct our hearts and lives. I pray, oh God, you'd help me to preach. And God, I pray, oh God, that you would just take these truths and minister it to the hearers, dear God, and that you would help us, God, to walk through life strong and true, dear God. And we'll thank you and praise you, dear God, for the things that you do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now look back up in verse number 1. It says, "And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita." And first of all, I like that word escape, don't you? It says they were escaped. Thank God for an escape from life's troubles and life's trials and life's tribulation. Because I know everybody here in this building, really, if you're 5 years old or 50 years old or 60 or 70 years old, you know that there's troubles in this life. And the little kid, he don't pay that much attention to them. But if you ask him if he had any troubles, I guarantee you, he'd say that he had a few. But anyway, troubles not only have a beginning, but they have an end, thank God. And in this situation here, they had been out on this ship and they had been doing everything that they possibly could to save the ship, and they didn't have no way to do it. The ship ended up getting wrecked, but the Bible says that they had no loss of life. But they got out of those troubles and they came through those troubles, and the Bible says they were escaped. And I'm sure there's been many a times in your life where you look back and you'd say, I've been through this or I've been through that, and while I was going through it, I thought there wasn't no escape for it. While I was going through it, I thought, man, I'm going down for the last time right here, and there ain't no coming back from this. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I'm sure they looked and saw it the same way. But thank God they had somebody that was praying and fasting on board the ship that was able to say, hey, everything's going to be all right. And but anyway, it said when they had escaped, and they knew that the island was called Melita, and I'd say this, if you get a little opportunity to escape a trouble and a trial, don't just sit around and wiping your brow. You might find a little bit of time to rejoice about it and to give thanks for it. I mean, it's not often that you just get to sit down and relax. A lot of people in this world, in this day and time, they're looking for a place to relax. They're looking for ease. They're looking for no troubles whatsoever. And listen, let me just say, there's not many times where you're going to encounter a situation like that. There's not going to be many spots in your life where there is no troubles or no trials or no tribulations or no temptations. There are not many at all. But when you find a place of escape, you ought to just throw up your hands right there and say, thank God for this little time of rest. Thank God for this little time of victory. And I would say this, you'd probably get more victories in your life if you was thankful for victories. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. But find a cause for rejoicing. Because listen, Paul, just like Paul, when you come out of a trouble, when you come out of a trial, guess what? You're going right back into one. It won't be long before you hit another one. It won't be long before you find another trial. And listen, I'm not happy about that. I don't take pleasure in doom and gloom. I don't take pleasure in those things. But I do take pleasure in knowing that there's a solution for all my troubles and a solution for all my trials. I know without a shadow of a doubt that next week I'm going to run into something, and the next week I'm going to run into something, and the next week I'm going to run into something, but I know without a doubt when I run into those troubles, there's going to be a solution for it. Now, there's no way to keep them, you know, all the troubles from coming, but I do know this, there is a solution for all my troubles. You say, oh, you're leaning on the crutch of your Bible, the crutch of your prayer, the crutch of your Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm leaning on. That's better than leaning on me. The Bible says you're a fool if you trust in the arm of flesh. I mean, if you're depending on me for your hope and for your help, I tell you what, I'll try to be a help to you, but there ain't no help like Jesus Christ. Ain't no help. Ain't no hope like Him. Amen? Then look in verse 2, talking about help. Sometimes help comes from the most unlikely sources. It says, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Sometimes God will use the world. Sometimes God will use ungodly people to help you. Sometimes God, you know, a lot of times we avoid everything that looks ungodly, and you ought to as far as the influences of your life. But it says, these barbarous people, He said, they showed us no little kindness. And said they kindled a fire, they got us warm, they received us and got us out of the rain and got us out of the cold. Sometimes help will come from unlikely places. But let me say this, when it does, don't just look at it as God using them to help you. Look at it as an opportunity for God using it for an opportunity for you to help them. I'd hate for somebody to pile money or to pile help or to pile support on me and then me not be good enough or graceful enough to turn around and give them the gospel or something like that. I can remember one time a man come and he put a large sum of money and he said, I want to put this in the church and I want this to be used for the church, and the man was not even saved. Listen, what I had to say to that man was, I thank you that God laid it upon your heart to do that, but let me tell you this, no amount of offering can get you into heaven. No amount of good works can get you into heaven. See, I'm sure without a doubt, I'm sure that that man thought, hey, I'm going to do these good deeds, and after that, surely God will let me get into heaven. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it hurts. You go to heaven by one way and one way only, and that's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you go out here in the world, God may send somebody along, a barbarous person. That means a barbarian. That's somebody that don't, that's like the word heathen. That's an unsophisticated and uncivilized. Somebody that don't know God, that's what that's talking about. When you get out in the world, you're going to run across people, and God may let them be a help to you. But listen, don't let God allow somebody to help you and you don't help them in return. Hey, listen, profit and goodness is not always money. Yes, sir. You giving somebody the gospel mean much more than them giving you a helping hand. Somebody come help you, ladies, change your tire or something like that on the side of the road. Hey, I got some help for you too. How about the gospel? Yeah. You know, oftentimes we look at every situation. We say every situation in our life, if it's bad, it comes from the devil. That's not true. God might have let you have a flat so you can witness to the tow truck man. That's a good possibility. And so listen, it says here, it says the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. I mean, you could get down to the hospital. Nobody wants to go to the hospital. But if you got down to the hospital, you could show witness to the doctor or to the nurse. How many times, I mean, a doctor going 5 or 6 days a week in the hospital and then laying at home, you know, resting up on the weekends, how many times do you think he hears the gospel? Not very many. I mean, so sometimes you can get help from the world, but you ought to help them as well. You're often going to be in the position of humility. Now, don't you think Paul, as the great apostle of Jesus Christ, he could lay on hands and heal. He could do all these miracles. Don't you think he would have liked to have went into a place and been the top dog and everybody weighed on him and everybody think, you know, we got to get our help from him? Wouldn't you think that'd be the case? But that's not the case. He needed the help of these people. And these people were a help to him. And in return, he became later on a help to them. Amen. Yours is often going to be a place of humility. And listen, one of the greatest things that God ever taught me was how to receive. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. It's always good if I can put my hand in my pocket and pull out a dollar and help you. Or it's always good if I can lend my strength or my arm or my support to help you. That's always good. But every once in a while, you're going to have to step back. Somebody's going to have to help you. You see, you're not all powerful. You're not all knowing. Amen? I mean, sometimes you're going to need some help. I think one of the gravest dangers in the church is when folks begin to think, I don't need no help. I don't need no help. And we do need help. We do need it sometimes to be put in a place of humility. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs, before honor is humility. Yes, sir. And so the Bible says that you ought to abase yourself. You ought to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And the Bible says in due time He'll exalt you. And so don't always think that you got to be the one helping. Sometimes somebody's going to have to help you. And then later on you'll get an opportunity to help them. Amen? Sometimes lost. Here they lost their ship. They lost their transportation. They lost their food supply. They lost everything. But sometimes loss is profit. Here's some barbarous people that got to hear the Word of God just because a ship happened to crash in their little harbor. So sometimes bad things are going to happen. Sometimes people are going to do you wrong. Sometimes other people are going to drag you down. And you're going to get discouraged about that. And you're going to get bitter about that. Or you're going to find an opportunity to use it for God's will and for God's glory. Your estimation of profit has to be larger than that of money. In other words, there's some things on this earth that's profitable and it has nothing to do with green paper or silver coins. Amen?
Right.
And then look at verse number 3. It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Paul got snake bit. Now, who do you reckon that snake is? That snake only represents one fella in the whole Bible. That's the devil, amen? And it's a viper. It's not just, doesn't just say a serpent. It said it was a viper. That's a deadly snake. That's the devil. Now, let me point something out to you tonight. Paul is following God. Not only is Paul following God, but Paul is in fellowship with God. If you just look back in chapter number 27 at verse number 23, you don't even have to turn the page, I don't think. But he says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul is in fellowship with God. Paul is walking with God. Paul is serving God. And then he's snake bit. In other words, the devil is able to reach out even while he's in fellowship with God, even while he's walking in the light as Jesus is in the light, the devil is still able to reach over and bite him. You think of the book of Job. The Lord God of heaven said that Job was perfect and upright, and the devil said, let me get at him, he'll curse you. God allowed that thing to happen. And here we look at this, it's just a snake and it just bites him on the hand. But boy, if we look at that just a little bit deeper and we see that the devil's a snake, and sometimes we'll be serving God and we'll be doing the things that God wants us to do, and here comes this thing right out of the blue sometimes and hits us blindsided, and it'll depress you. And it'll knock you off your feet, it seems like, snake bit. I don't find nothing fun about being snake bit. Can you? I mean, when I think about the possibility of getting snake bit, oh, I don't like it a bit. We found a little bitty snake out there in the grass the other couple of nights ago after Wednesday night service. He was only about that big. But I didn't reach down there and kill him with my hand. I reached and got a hoe, I reached and got a shovel, and I killed him. You say, well, I don't want him to get bit by a little snake. And after I killed him and got him in the light, I went in there and looked up to see whether or not he was deadly. I mean, after I killed him, he wasn't deadly no way. But I tell you this, there's nothing about being snake bit that I like. Is there anything about trouble that you like? Is there anything about being broke that you like? Is there anything about being abused that you like? Is there anything about being cussed out that you like? No, nothing. I mean, some Baptists, all they like to do is fuss, but I'm talking about folks that's walking close to God. There's nothing you like about being snake bit. I get kind of snake bit. Listen, I get kind of snake bit when we got nearly 100 folks on Sunday morning and 40 on Wednesday night. I'll tell you what, I come in a little bit snake bit tonight. Yeah. Yes, sir. And listen, I mean, you see things and you go through things and things hit you in life that you're just going to have to figure out how to get past it and get by it. Amen. It's hard. Listen, if you're walking in a world full of snakes, it's hard not to get snake bit. Amen. Amen. Listen, Paul's walking close to God and he's bit. Amen. Now listen, let me show you this. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. I mean, look at what it says right there. In reality, look what it says. Paul's carrying the snake. It was in the wood. When the heat got on, the snake bit him. Paul's out, get the picture in your mind. Paul's out there gathering sticks. He's working. He's laboring. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. And in this bundle of sticks, there's a snake. And when he put that bundle of sticks on the fire, it got hot in there and that snake come out and bit him. You know, you're probably walking every day pretty close to the snake that'll bite you one of these days. Listen, we've had folks come to church right here and they come in, they look like one of us and they act like one of us, but when the heat got on and when the road got rough, boy, they bit, didn't they? They absolutely did. But Paul was carrying the very snake that bit him. And listen, I'll tell you something I know about snakes. That snake wanted to bite him the whole time, I guarantee it. You pick up a snake and he's in a bundle of bushes or a bundle of brush or in a bundle of wood and you've got him up there. If he knows you're carrying him, he wants you to bite him. Or he wants to bite you, I should say. Don't be biting no snakes, amen. Don't be biting no snakes. If you're carrying a big old snake in your arms, I guarantee you he wants to bite you. Amen? Because a snake don't like you. Snake ain't got no use for you. Amen? I did a little bit of a studying on snakes this week, and I got to looking at these videos on snakes, and these people are stupid. Listen, if you got a snake in your house, and listen, I don't know you personally, so don't come up after church and say, I'm offended because what you said. I don't know you got snakes, but I'll just say this. If you got a snake in your house, that's kind of dumb. Amen? Amen? But anyway, this guy got a snake in it. My brother's got a couple of snakes. Man, I said, you're stupid. Anyway, that's a different story. But this snake belongs to this man, and this man feeds the snake and treats the snake well, and you know how people are with their pets, amen? People love their pets. But this thing is a king cobra. And listen, this snake, it belongs to this man and gets fed by this man, but when the man opens the cage, he swells up. He's going to bite that man. Don't matter if you're feeding a snake. It don't matter if you're treating the snake well. It don't matter if you're giving him 3 meals a day. It don't matter what you do with the snake. A snake's going to bite you. Right. Amen. Sometimes snakes come in the form of relatives. Sometimes, amen. Sometimes snakes come in the form of church members. Sometimes snakes come in the form of preachers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Absolutely. But listen, Paul is carrying this bundle of wood. He's working, and he's carrying the very thing that wants to bite him. Amen? You see what I'm talking about? How many of you ever been bit by something you was carrying? Somebody you was carrying. Amen? Somebody say, let me borrow $25 till next week. Snake bit. Amen? Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Ain't that right? That's exactly right. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have been the snake at one time or another. But you're supposed to be converted now as a Christian. You're not supposed to be the snake. Amen?
Right.
So Paul's carrying the snake. It was in the wood. But when the heat got put on, they'll bite. Amen? When the heat gets put on. When the heat gets turned up, it'll reveal who people are. St. John there, the Apostle John, he said, they went out from us because they was not of us. Said they looked like us and they met with us for a little while, but when the heat turned up, there they was gone. Let me tell you this, listen, when the heat turns up on you, that's going to tell whether or not you're real or not. Listen, I've seen people that serve God sick as a dog. I've seen people that serve God with no money. I've seen people that serve God with no talent. Amen. I know one of them standing here preaching to you. Listen, I'm telling you that your situation and the things that are happening to you is not... God didn't let them things happen to you to put you out. He gave you those things to make you stronger. Amen. The Bible says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. If you've got something that's going on in your life and it's bringing you down and dragging you down, God didn't put that in you, in your life, to give you an excuse to lay out or to quit or not be a witness. He gave you that thing to show forth His glory in your life.
That's right.
Amen. So when the heat gets turned up, you determine you're going to stick. Amen. You determine you're going to keep on going. That snake wanted to bite him the whole time, I guarantee it. But when the heat got turned up, he went ahead and did his biting. Now listen, you're not going to serve very long in this life to the devil or somebody like him is going to bite you. And then notice, look what it says in verse number 4 again. It says, verse number 4, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. But you see where that snake bit him at? Bit him in the hand. Now your hand is where you do your work at. Your hand is where you do your labor at. And when the snake bit, it tried to hinder his labor. Now if you got bit in the hand with a big old venomous snake and it swelled up about 3 or 4 times its normal size and went limp and went numb, you wouldn't be able to get no work done, would you? Absolutely not. The snake bit him where it would hinder his labor. When the devil bites you, when somebody like the devil bites you, when one of the devil's workers bites you, when one of the devil's troubles bites you, when one of the devil's trials bites you, it's going to try to hinder you from serving God.
Right.
You ever notice how when you get sick, it don't hinder you from television?
How about that? Yeah.
Really? I mean, I've never heard somebody say, hey, I can't come over to your house and watch Late Lake movie with you because I'm sick. Have you? No, sir. You ain't never been hindered from going to a nightclub.
Right.
Never, never. Listen, when you was lost, when you was lost,
right.
When you was lost,
right.
When you was lost out there in the world, a little headache didn't keep you from going to the nightclub.
Right.
No, matter of fact, you said, well, if I can get to the nightclub and get me a little drink, my headache will go away. I wish some Baptists would get that kind of a theology. Hey, if I can just get down to the church house, I might feel a little bit better.
Right.
Yes, sir. When the devil hinders you, he's going to hinder you from the working, not from the playing. Sickness don't keep you from television. Sickness don't keep you from the hunting lodge. Tomorrow's the first day of bear season, amen. I guarantee a bunch of folks will be out there hunting that wasn't in church tonight. Well, I just feel bad. Everybody in Chalton County's religious as they can be, everybody's saved.
Right.
Go knock on their door. Hey, y'all have been saved? Oh yeah, I'm saved. Yes, sir. I got purple hair and I look like a streetwalker, but I'm saved.
Right.
I don't know about all that. Don't know about all that. But I guarantee you what will keep you out of church won't keep you from hunting lodge or Walmart. Let the blue light special come on at Kmart, and I tell you what, the sick and the lame and the lazy will be down there. Ain't that right?
Right.
Ain't that right? When Satan hinders, he hinders you from prayer. He hinders you from reading your Bible. He hinders you from going to church. Those are your laboring hands.
Yep.
When the devil bites, he don't hinder you from watching TV or none of that stuff. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? It bit him in the hand. How many of you folks have been bit in the hand? You found yourself going 2 or 3 days without reading your Bible? Or praying. Listen, those are your working hands. If you ain't got those, you ain't going to get nothing done. You can't get nothing done without praying.
Yes, sir.
You can't get nothing done without reading your Bible and without going to church. You just can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. God gave us these things to edify us, to help us, to build us up. Do you believe that? You ought to, because it's the truth. Look what it says. Now here's something I know you all know something about. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer." Have you ever had something bad happen to you? If you've ever had, Brother Henry, if you've ever had something bad happen to you, I guarantee you, there was some old crow sitting on the fence over there going, "Aha, I knew he was of the devil the whole time." It said, hey, they saw that snake bite him on the hand. They said, "He's a murderer. I guarantee you that. I know what, the devil wouldn't treat nobody, or God wouldn't treat nobody like that unless they was just out of the will of God." I tell you, I've heard that a million times. Well, Brother Mike, you might be having so much trouble down there because you're not right with God. No, we're having trouble because we're in a cursed world. Yes, sir. I mean, the chances are you're going to get hit whether you're living for God or living for the devil. Chances are pretty good you're going to run into a rough time. Right. Did you ever get sick while you was lost? What if you got sick while you were serving the devil and you get sick while you're serving God? Looks like there's something equal on both sides, don't it? Sure. We live in a cursed world. Yes, sir. Listen, when something goes to happening, whether you're saved or lost, I tell you what would be the best thing to do. Get down on your knees and pray about it. God, is this because I'm backslid? Or is this because I'm right with you and you're just testing me, going to show forth your glory in somebody else's life? That would be the best way to approach it. And what I'm saying to you, right or wrong, this way or that way, is don't listen to what old holier than thou down the road says. Amen? Just don't listen to it. Don't pay no attention to what somebody else says. Oh, I knew you was going to be in trouble because you just ain't right with God. Don't pay no attention to that. No, but some people, listen, some people will pay attention to what their neighbor says and to what some religious good-for-nothing says. Somebody will pay attention to what everybody in the world says except for what the Bible says. Yes, sir. If your next-door neighbor called you a no-good-for-nothing scoundrel, you would brood over that for a week. I just can't believe it. But if the Bible says you is rotten, you'd say, "Well, I don't see it that way. I'm not going to let that bother me." The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come glory to God, and come short of the glory of God." And you ain't pulled one hair out about that. "Well, that's just your way of looking at it, preacher." No, that's what it says. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's what it says. But that don't bother us none. But if our neighbor gets upset with us, or somebody we're trying to impress don't think we're right with God, well, we'll chew our fingernails to the quick. Listen, you ought to care more about what God says than what your neighbor says or what some good-for-nothing so-and-so says. Amen?
Right.
I meant to say holier than thou, but I come out good-for-nothing. I don't know. That might have been the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But look what he says. When the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, he says, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Look at verse number 6. It says, "Howbeit they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while..." Notice they wasn't trying to get him no bandage. They wasn't trying to do nothing to help him. They just stand there looking, waiting to see if God was going to kill him or not. Listen, folks, when you see somebody going through some trouble or some trial, help them. Don't just sit there like an old crow on the fence seeing whether or not they're going to die or not. You know, when an old crow sits on the fence or an old buzzard sits on the fence and watches something die, it's not because they care or particularly entertained with the death of another beast. They're waiting to eat. Yes, sir. You get an old crow sitting on the fence, he wants to see that fella die. He wants to see that old animal die so he can get down there and benefit from it. Sometimes I think Baptists are sitting on the fence going, if that fella gets knocked out, I can take his position. That's exactly right. See, these barbarians, see, we ought not act like barbarians. We ought to act like Christian folks. When we see somebody down, we ought to go pick them up and help them up and say, "Hey, is there any way I can help? Can I be a blessing to you some way?" But no, we say, "Hey, you ain't right with God." We'll say, if I'm struggling, you're trying to be Christ-like, how about helping me? See what they say then. "Well, I've got to go. I've got further appointments I've got to be at." You see, you've changed the dynamic altogether then. Look what it said. They weren't trying to help him, but it says they looked. Look, it said that, "But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said they was a god." You ever notice how if you do go through something hard, nobody's there to help you, when things start going right again, everybody jumps back on the bandwagon. You see, if you're like me, and I know most of you are, I know most of your situation, you ain't got no money, and I ain't got no money neither.
Right.
But I guarantee you, if a check come in the mail, I'd have all kinds of friends. If I was to go down to the store and scribble off a couple of that little latex stuff they put over them numbers and win the lottery, I guarantee you I'd have some friends next week.
Right.
Amen. They'd probably be all preachers too. I know we said you were stupid for going to Charlton County to open a church, and I know we said you was wrong about a lot of things, but now that you got this money, I want to be your friend. That's what they mean. See, I just cut through all the doublespeak and told you what they meant. Boy, I ain't seen you in a long time. That means I ain't had no reason to come see you.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen you there, preacher or friend or whatever the case. But that means you've got something now that they want and they done showed up for it. Amen. Yes, sir. That's what they said. Oh, maybe he's not a murderer. Maybe he's not so bad after all. They changed their mind and said he was a god. As long as you've got something now you can benefit somebody, they're going to think you're a god. Amen? And that's enough to make you mad. Ain't it? I mean, I'm normal, I'm natural, I'm a man just like everybody else. When somebody's two-faced, it kind of makes me mad, but then God has to shake me back to reality and said, I called you to preach and I called you to help folks, so you're just going to have to put up with it when people are not exactly like they ought to be. Amen? And that's one thing we talked about in our Monday night Bible class is that you've got to be tolerant with folks while you're trying to help them. Amen? I didn't say compromise. I didn't say compromise. I said be tolerant and help folks when you can, when you got the opportunity to. You say, Brother Mike, you've given us all these things. They escaped from one trouble and went into another trouble. He's got snake bit. Some people was against him. And then they changed their mind and got... But what's the point of the sermon? I give you the point of the sermon here in verse number 5. I want to tell you how to get over being set snake bit. Look what he says in verse 5. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. I'll tell you how to get out of trouble. I'll tell you how to get past stuff. Shake it off.
Yeah.
That's all you do. You ever heard that? You say, Brother Mike, we need a more deep theological formula for getting over things. No, there ain't no deep theological formula for getting over things. You're just going to have to shake it off. Amen? But look here, there's something a little more in the verse than that. He shook off the beast into the fire. Now, I don't know about you, but my Bible says, that old King James Bible says, my God, our God is a consuming fire. The key word here I want you to notice is consuming fire. You throw something in there, it's going to go away, amen? You give God your troubles and you give God your trials, they'll be gone. It don't mean more ain't coming up. We done went over that. But our God is a consuming fire.
Right.
See, we use that verse just to say people are going to go to hell. That's not all that means. Our God is a consuming fire. You know what the Bible says? It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Yes, sir. Shake it off. So that's just not deep enough. Well, that's as deep as I get. Shake it off. If you want to listen. Now listen, I've talked to folks before who were abused in some way and they still suffer. And the key word is was. They say, well, you don't understand, preacher. When I was a boy or when I was a girl, I was abused. The key word is was.
Right.
You're not being abused today.
Yeah.
Listen, there's been many a man and many a woman that gave many a wife or many a husband unnecessary trouble because they was abused when they was a child. That's not your husband's fault. It's not your wife's fault. You was abused.
Right.
You're not being abused today. Listen, God's given you the victory, but you hadn't shook it off.
Amen.
Listen, there's not a man or a woman in this building today that's getting abused. And if you are, you come let me know. We'll take care of it.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Nathan, if your wife's beating on you, you let me know. And I... I'll straighten that out, amen? Amen. But listen, let me say this. I don't believe, as I stand here before God, I don't believe that there's nobody in this room that's being abused. But you may have been abused when you was little. You may have experienced some tragedy in your life. But that tragedy's in the past. Why don't you leave it there? Shake it off. Amen. You may have had cause for great suffering in your life, and God forbid, I'm not making light of it. It was your trouble, and it was your trial, and it was a great thing to get through. I'm sure of that. But it's in the past, and it's not taking place anymore. You need to shake it off.
Yeah.
You say, why? Because your life right now is being destroyed by something that's not happening anymore.
Amen.
You say, what is that? You need to get the victory and realize you got the victory already and shake it off and let God consume that thing. Let God wipe it away. If the blood of Jesus Christ can wipe away all your sins and all your transgressions so that He doesn't ever remember them anymore, don't you think He can take some heartache and some hurt and wipe it out of your mind and wipe it clean and wipe it free? The only way it can hurt you now is if you keep picking it up. That's it. You don't need to pay a psychologist $100,000 every year to try to help you through your troubles and give you more pills and more pills and more pills and more pills. What you need to do is shake it off. You say it's not that simple, Brother Mike. It is that simple. In one act of sacrifice, Jesus Christ wiped away all the sin of the world on the cross. That one day, that same power will help you. That same power will dry a teary eye, a broken heart, a wounded mind. Yes, sir. It certainly can. Past trouble is just that. Past. If you're not experiencing a thing, obviously you've gained the victory over it and deliverance from it. Amen?
Yes.
Shake it off. When Paul went through trouble, when that snake come out and bit him and was going to hinder his work, was going to hinder his power with God, was going to hinder his fellowship with God, he shook it off and didn't think another thing about it. He didn't care about the people that said, "You must be a murderer." He didn't care about the folks that said, "You must be a God." He just slung it off. Didn't worry about it one way or the other. That's, you say, "Well, what in the world would I replace all my worry with?" How about the Word of God?
Yeah.
How about prayer time?
Yeah.
What would I replace my worry with? How about taking care of others who have greater needs than you do?
Amen.
Yes, sir. You can find a heap of folks like that that you can help. You know, it's more fun to be a blessing to somebody else than it is to worry about yourself. I ain't never had fun worrying, have you? It seems to me like Baptists have fun worrying. This happened to me and that happened to me. I wonder what's going to happen next. Well, something is. You better be rejoicing when it comes. Or I promise you this, you will not be rejoicing as it stays and lingers or as it goes. If you don't have any joy going into a situation, you're not going to have any joy in it. You're not going to have any joy after it's gone. And it is going. I hear that. I read that verse in the Bible over and over again, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. I mean, time just keeps on rolling. Things are going to come and things are going to go. Amen? Yes, sir. Some people say, "I have trouble trusting because of such and such or because of so and so." And that's just absorbing your life. And listen, when you begin to say, "Well, I'm not going to trust this person because I can't trust that person," you're actually abusing somebody else. I had a lady come to me one time and said, "I just can't trust my husband because I had somebody else and they did me wrong. And now I can't trust them." I said, "Well, what you're doing is you're abusing him because of something somebody else done." Yes, sir. You say, what was the advice you gave her? In a nutshell, shake it off. Shake it off. Listen, I'd say this. Don't be a victim. Don't be a victim all your life. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "But thanks be unto God, which always, always, always causeth us to triumph."
Amen.
I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." Ain't that what you're looking for? Victory. I don't see a clause in that verse that says just victory over sin or just victory over tribulation. I don't see any stipulation in there. All I see is, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's it. Victory. You say victory over what? You fill in the blank. You just put your trouble in there. You put your trial in there. And let me go further and deeper than that. Put your temptation in there. Some people have been defeated over and over by a temptation. We've got people in this country that's been going to Alcoholics Anonymous for 30 years. And they stand up every day and say, "I'm still an alcoholic," when they ain't took a drink in 30 years. Ain't it about time you got some victory?
Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's a victorious life. The other is the victim's life. And that's the only way you can live, Brother Henry. You can live as a victim or you can live as victorious.
Yes, sir.
I choose the victory side of the question, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I choose the victory side. It's there for me. It's freely given to me through the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Praise God for the deliverance and move on forward.
Amen.
Say, I'm not going through the stuff I used to go through. Thank God. Raise your hands to heaven and say, thank God I'm not going through the things I used to go through. Things ain't perfect now, but man, God's delivered me from so many things. And thank God I ain't got to go through them things anymore. Amen. Well, I remember when I was a little boy, and we was poor. Boy, we was poor. Man, you talking about being so poor you can't pay attention. We was poor. And I tell you what, I can remember times where we didn't eat. I can remember times where things was rough. I can remember times wearing clothes until they just wouldn't close no more. They just basically rags. I can remember going to school with them little canvas Converse shoes that had been worn by 7 or 8 other people, and my feet was dragging the ground underneath those things. I mean, I can just remember things as, listen, I could sit around and say, oh, I had a terrible childhood, but no, sir, God delivered me from that. And not only that, but God taught me valuable lessons. God taught me one thing, if He didn't teach me nothing else, I can survive being poor. I'm still around 42 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't learn from the things that gave you a hard time, you're missing out on a part of life. Amen?
Right.
Yes, sir. I've heard people say, I'm gonna make sure my children don't go through the things that I went through, and then they raise spoiled brats, and you say, I wonder what went wrong. I tell you what went wrong, they didn't go through the things that you went through. You better put them through something now and again, let them experience life. Don't put them on a bed of roses until they're 18, then turn them out into a world full of snakes. They won't know how to survive a snake bite. Listen, did you know Paul, by the time he got to Acts chapter 28, he'd done been stoned at Lystra? He'd already been drugged through the dirt. He had already been stoned. He had already been beat. He had already received stripes 40 times, 39 times, on several different occasions. He had been a night and a day in the deep. He had been through everything in the world. By the time he got down to Acts 28 and that snake bit him on the hand, he said, man, this ain't nothing.
Yeah. That's right.
It's the things that you go through in life that's going to make you stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger each time. Now, when they were stoning him at Lystra, I suppose he probably looked up to heaven and said, I deserve this. I was standing there when they stoned Stephen. But by the time he got bit at Melita, he wasn't worried about if he deserved it or if he didn't deserve it or if he was being mistreated or what. You say, what did he do? Just shook it off. Won't you shake some things off tonight and decide you're just going to serve God? Good times? Wonderful. Bad times? Okay. Let's man up and go through it. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, for Your goodness.